This morning, I thought about this week when I gave Melissa my title for the sermon, and it was Laborers. I thought, and everybody's already saying, Brother Steve's going to pound us about getting out there. Well, I'm not going to pound you about getting out there. I'm just going to tell you what God is telling me to do. And that's what you get out of it is what you get out of it. It's between you and Him. You know, so many times we come to church and we have the idea of what's going to take place in church. And I'm as guilty as anybody. I'm the pastor and I pretty much know what's going to go on in my mind. But then sometimes He stops me in the middle of a song and says, no, we're going a different way. We come and we expect to sing, we expect to hear God's word preached, and we expect to leave, hopefully changed a little bit. But what your expectation is when you come in these doors this morning should not have anything to do with me. It should not have anything to do with the praise team or the person sitting beside you. It should be between you and God. That's what it's all about. Now, God is going to use different people. And week after week, I stand out here in the foyer and somebody will come to me and they will say, man, the point you made about this just really got me. And I'm running back through my sermon saying, I never mentioned that. That was not anywhere in my notes. That was not anywhere in my topic, in the message that I was. It wasn't there. And it will happen time and time again of how people are hearing what God is saying to them in spite of what I'm saying. Because God speaks to those who want to listen. And that's where we're at. As we go into this passage this morning, we're going to cover two different passages, but we're going to start with the one in Matthew chapter 9. So if you want to turn there, and we're talking in my mind, as I go into this week and as I study and as I prepare, I'm thinking we're going to talk about the harvest being plentiful. Because right now, I know most Christians say, well, you know, it's hard to witness the people in our world today because they just don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. And that's probably true as a society as a whole. But when you talk to people on an individual basis and you find out how broken their life is, And they find out how broken your life is. And they see that the only hope that you have is Jesus Christ. They realize that that hole, that void, that emptiness inside themselves has hope to be filled through Jesus. And so, as we go into this passage, I pray that you hear what God has for you as an individual about filling the void in either your life or the lives of those around you. Let's read, and we're going to start in Matthew 9:35. It says, and Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. And he saw the crowds and he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I just come before you now and I lift up this passage. But more than anything, I pray that your Spirit would move in this place this morning in a way that would change us, in a way that would open our eyes, that would open our hearts. Lord, I lift it all to you and pray that you would be glorified. In your name we pray. Amen. Darren, can we turn that down just a little? I'm getting a little bit of a feedback up there. Maybe it's just in my head. It could be just in my head. That's happened before, too. But anyway, as we get into this passage, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, the helpless and the harassed and like sheep without a shepherd that our world is really like. You know, that's where a lot of our world is. And I was wrong in saying that. Because you and I, even if we're Christians, we are still harassed daily. We sometimes live our lives like that sheep without a shepherd. Now, we have a shepherd in Jesus Christ, and we are not helpless because He is our helper. But there are so many times during the week that you and I live like we're helpless. We live like we're harassed and like sheep without a shepherd. And as I'm studying this passage, I couldn't help but go to the words of Jesus when He says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." And so immediately my thought goes to, okay, God is telling me I need to get out there and be one of those laborers that goes in and seeks to reap the harvest. But that's not what this passage says. This passage says, He's just telling us the harvest is plentiful. Now, Jesus said this in New Testament times when they're writing this. But I can guarantee you that the harvest is still plentiful today. It is still plentiful. And this next part, but the laborers are still few. Now, I don't say that to make anybody feel bad, because like I said, this is probably aimed at me as much as it is anybody in here. But when He says to me, the laborers are still few, He says, therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest. Stop right there. Your job and my job is to pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest, to Jesus. We may end up getting this last part that's aimed at us too. But our first job and foremost job is to pray to the Lord of the harvest that He would do what He desires to do. It goes on to tell us, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. I've talked to people a lot over the years, and I'm sure you have too, and they say, that's just not my gift. My gift is not to go out and witness one-on-one to people and try to lead them to the Lord. Okay, fine. That's not in that passage. That's what everybody assumes is in that passage, because we're saying the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few, pray the Lord of the harvest that He'll send people out. Your job is to pray. Your job is to pray that He will send people out into the fields. Send laborers into the harvest. We can look at a passage in, I believe it's John chapter 4, where Jesus says, for here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. Don't look over the fact that you may not be the one that's called to reap. That's what scares 99% of us from going out in there and praying, God, send somebody into the harvest. Man, the harvest is ready to go. It's ripe. Those people out there are scared to death about what our society is doing. They see all the things on TV that are garbage. They see the things that are contradictory to your word, the lifestyles that are wrong. They see that and they know you're not going to put up with it forever. And so they know. We know that the harvest is ready. There are people looking for an answer to fill that God-shaped void in our lives that cannot be filled by drugs, alcohol, sex, or anything else out there. The only thing that's going to fill that void is Jesus Christ. Bottom line, that's the only thing that's going to fill that, because it's a God-shaped void in us. We're scared to death to go out and try to say something to somebody and give them hope. But the idea here is, pray to the Lord of the harvest. Pray to God that He will send somebody out there, that He will send laborers into the field. Understand that the Bible tells us there's at least three different types of laborers. One's going to sow, one's going to water, and one's going to reap. Man, of all those three, I want to do the reaping. You know why? Because that doesn't depend on me. Neither do the other two, really. But the bottom line is, God's going to call them to Him. I'm just going to be there. But when it comes to that sowing and that watering, that's frustrating. And you and I see it because when we go to talk to somebody, whether it be at work, a ball game, the coffee shop, or wherever you're at, and you go to talk to somebody, and it's like, man, that religion stuff's not for me. Man, it's just crippling to us. What did I do wrong? What did I say? What could I have said differently that would make them accept the gospel? Nothing. They are going to come to Christ by His calling. But you are to be a laborer. I am to be a laborer. I don't know if my job is sowing seed. If my job is sowing seed, and I've always saw pictures. Nowadays, it's a whole lot simpler, Rick, to sow seed in an air-conditioned tractor, I'm assuming. I've never done that. But I see these guys in the pictures and in the movies where they're carrying this bag and they're walking along and they're doing this and they're throwing this seed and it's just scattered everywhere. And it's so much more efficient today to put it where it belongs and take care of it and water it and know that it's there and do everything you can possibly do to get it to produce that crop. But even that guy that had that bag of seed, when he took and he threw it out, he did it intentionally. He was throwing it out. He was sowing the seed anywhere he could. That's your job. That's my job. To sow seed, to sow the gospel of Jesus Christ, to sow the Word of God, the love of God, anywhere we can. That's your job. That's my job. Now, the watering takes a little bit more effort. Because I can just walk along and throw seed. Hey, everybody I talk to, I'm going to talk to them about Jesus. I'm going to talk to them about God's love. I'm going to talk to them about what God can do for them and the fact that He's coming back. And I can just, anybody hears, that's good. I've sown a seed. Now, what happens in their life with it, that's up to God. But I've sown a seed. And so really, that seems pretty simple. But then that watering, you've got to go back to where that seed was. And you've got to take time and you've got to make sure that it gets the water that it needs. Because if the seed's over here, then I can't go water over here. I need to water where the seed's at. And man, that's difficult. Because I don't know if I come up and talk to you, if the seed has already been sown in your life, then I need to do something to show and encourage you that God is still working. I don't know. I don't know what's been sown. Where? And to who? But I know my job is to water. Well, we know that sowing is the spreading of the gospel, the telling of God's love and what Jesus Christ did for us. And we know that the reaping is when that person accepts Christ and they enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. But what's the watering? It doesn't specifically say. We know what sowing is. We know what reaping is. We've got to water too. And I think that watering is more of a how you live your life around them. And they draw encouragement. They draw nourishment from the fact that when things go bad in your life and you depend on Jesus Christ, they see that and that nourishment comes in and so it's watered. And so as we look at this, we still have a tendency to say, I'm not a very good laborer. I don't know how to share the word. I think I try to go ahead and encourage people and show people what the Bible says. And I'm not really sure how to sit down and lead someone to the Lord. And so I really don't know how good of a laborer I would be. But you know what? It's not up to you. It's not up to me. It says, pray to the Lord of the harvest that He would send out laborers into the harvest. He's going to send out who He wants to send out. But if I'm going to pray, I can't pray and say, God, send Tyler out into the harvest. pretty good, you know, that's what a lot of us like to do. Oh, Lord, send Debbie out to the midst of the people. And we want to pray that God would send somebody out among the people. But if I'm really going to pray that God's going to send a laborer out, then my heart has to be willing to go myself. So it's kind of a catch-22 here. If I'm going to pray like I'm told to do, then my heart should be willing to go. But like I said, I'm not very good at it sometimes. You're not very good at it sometimes. But as I'm studying this passage this week about how we're supposed to be laborers and how we're supposed to sow and water and reap and pray that God would send somebody out, there are places that you and I can't be. I can't be in Kiev, Ukraine right now. I can't be in downtown Los Angeles right now. I can't be in Mexico right now. So I can pray that God would send someone to those places right now. But my heart has to be to the point of saying, God, if you want me to go, I see the brokenness and the need in that place. I see what you see. I see the brokenness. I saw that picture of the people in the subway singing, and immediately you think, does that break God's heart? That doesn't break God's heart. God loves that. What breaks God's heart is when you and I stand back and do nothing about it. We don't pray. We don't get down on our knees. We don't intercede for those people. Because God's faithful. He's going to take care of them. He's so, so good. He's always been faithful. He is and He was and He always will be. But what about your faithfulness? What about my faithfulness? We are to be laborers. If you'll turn over into Mark chapter 6. As I'm praying and studying about that this week, God brings me to this passage. I'll read it while you're turning there, but you'll know where it's at. It's in 6:53. It says, when they had crossed over, they came to the land of the Gerasenes, whatever that place, and moored to the shore. And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him, and they ran about the whole region and began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. And whenever he came to the villages, the cities, the countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplace and implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well. I thought, man, that's a laborer. That's a laborer. First of all, they cared. They cared enough that when they saw Jesus pull up in that boat, they didn't run up to Jesus. It doesn't say that. In another passage, it tells us where a demon-possessed man, when Jesus got out of the boat, he jumped and he ran and he fell at Jesus' feet. It doesn't say that here. It says that they ran to find people. Why don't they do what I do? Just walk and talk to whoever you run into. Why don't they do what people do today? Just, hey, I'll meet somebody along the road. I'll talk to them wherever I'm at. I'll talk to them at the ball game. And I will tell them that Jesus just pulled up on shore. Because they knew that at that time, Jesus didn't stay in one place for very long. And so they knew it was urgent that they run to find people. And tell them where Jesus was. Why do we not think it's urgent? A week ago, do you think people in Ukraine thought it was urgent? These people, when they recognized Jesus, they ran. Because they knew it was important that we go right now because we don't know how long Jesus is going to stay here. You and I don't know how long before Jesus splits that eastern sky. And we should not be setting back and, well, I'll talk to somebody this week in the coffee shop, or I'll talk to them at work, or I'll talk to them. We should run. when we get out of this place, or even before, if you want to get up and run right now, you feel free to get up and run out if you want to talk to somebody about Jesus. But why don't we look at it that way? Why don't we see that there's not always going to be a lot of time to meet Jesus? They ran. They cared enough to go. They ran because it was urgent. And then we look at that passage. It says they ran about the whole region. Well, I just want to go to the people that I know. They didn't just go back to their house. They didn't just go back to their little village, to their town. It says they ran about the whole region. And man, when I read that, I was so convicted, because you and I, or I, want to run to the people I know. And everybody else, they've got a pastor, they've got a Sunday school teacher, they've got a Bible study leader, I'm sure, that's ministering to them, or is talking to them, or is telling them. Or they probably already heard it. And so you and I pick and choose who we want to talk to. He says here, they ran to the whole region. It wasn't like, I'm just going to run and I'm going to talk to one person, I'm done. No, they ran to the whole region to tell people, Jesus is here. Jesus is the answer to that sickness you have. Jesus is the answer, and He's here. And I've done everything I could. I ran to you so I could tell you. And I just got a thought run through my head. When I get to heaven, Jesus is going to say, how much running did you do? Man, I hate when sermons hit me that hard. But they ran throughout the whole region, and they began to bring the sick people. And it wasn't enough just to run out there and tell people, hey, God loves you. Jesus is down at the lake, and He can heal whatever sickness you can have. He can make you well. It's down there about 5 miles. That's not what they did. It says that they went and they found the sick people. And when they found the sick people, what did they do? It says they brought them. They began to bring the sick people even on their beds. It's one thing if I'm just going to have to lead a blind man, that's one thing. But they carried people on their beds to where Jesus was. And again, God's saying, what have you done? You've told a few people. Have you ever went and got anybody? Have you ever literally carried them on your back and brought them to a point that they could meet Jesus? They did everything they could to bring people, even carrying them on their bed if that was what's had to happen. And it immediately brings us to that thought of that story where those four men lowered the man through the roof in front of Jesus. They did everything they could. They brought him even on his bed and brought him to Jesus. But here it says, and whenever they came into the villages and the cities and the countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces even. Any open area that they thought Jesus was going to be, I'm going to do everything I can to bring people to where they can see Jesus. This is not a sermon or a ploy to try to get you to invite people into church. That's not what this is. Because they ought to be able to see Jesus in your life. Bring Jesus to them. That's not what happens here, but that's what we can do. But you sow however you can sow, and you water however you can water, and you allow God to reap whenever He's going to reap. But that's what He calls for us. And that's what they did. And so they had done everything they could. They ran because it was urgent. They went throughout the whole city, not just to people that they knew and that they loved, but to everybody. And they began to bring them even on their beds, and they took them anywhere that they thought Jesus might be. That should be enough, right? I mean, they did everything they possibly could. They literally carried people on their beds to Jesus. That should be enough. But they didn't stop there. They did not stop there. It says, and after they brought them to those places and in the marketplaces, it says, they implored him that they might even touch even the fringe of his garment. They prayed to Jesus. They pleaded with Jesus. Can they just touch the hem of your garment? Can they just touch the hem of your garment? And they pleaded. They interceded for these sick people that they had brought. They had done everything they could. And then they pleaded with Jesus that they would be made well. Sometimes if I just get them coming to the Bible study, man, I've done my part. Or if I just get them to come into church or to Sunday school or youth or whatever, if I just get them coming, I've done my part. You've done what you're supposed to, but not all you're supposed to. You need to still continue to intercede for those people that they might even touch the fringe of his garment. Now, I want to say this real clear. You and I can do everything within our power. We can run after them. We can go everywhere. We can bring them. We can pray for them. But you are not God, and I am not God. But the bottom line is, I'm going to do everything as a laborer. I'm going to bring them, and then ultimately what they have to do. This last little bit of this verse said, and as many as touched him were made well. It says nothing about this one guy coming and reaching down and grabbing this guy's hand and slapping the garment. No. That's not what took place. They had to come to a point to reach out to Jesus themselves. But let me ask you this. If they looked at you and they saw you run up to them and they saw you tell them that Jesus was there and that Jesus could heal them, and then they saw you carry their bed to where Jesus was, and then they saw you intercede and plead to Jesus that you would be made well, what do you think would be the chances of them sitting there with their arms crossed saying, I'm not touching him for nothing? No. They're going to see your faith, and they're going to understand there must be something real if this person is going to do everything in their power that I might come to see Jesus. That's what they're telling us. This passage is telling us that we have to do everything we can, but ultimately, I've got to scroll about 4 pages on my notes because I'm not even close. But it's one of those things where we've got to get to a point of doing everything we possibly can, because everything here, I think, hinges on one verse. Everything that they do, everything these laborers do, hinges on one verse. And it's verse 54. It says, and when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him. Those people that were standing there, and that boat pulls up and they tie to the shore, they saw Jesus. And immediately something in them caused them to run and do all this other stuff we've been talking about. At some point, they had met Jesus. Now, if we look back a few verses, we know that the woman that had the issue of bleeding, she's in this large crowd, and she comes up to Jesus and she says, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made well. So we got a touching of the garment. Maybe the two are connected. Maybe some of the people that are going through all this saw what Jesus did, saw what the power of Jesus did when that woman was healed, and they said, man, I'm going to run to my friends and to all these people and bring them to Jesus, because if they just do like this woman did and touch his garment, they'll be healed. So maybe they had saw the power of God move in the past. And that moved them to do all this other stuff. Maybe they were in that feeding of the 5,000, which was a chapter or so ahead. Maybe they were there and they saw what Jesus had done. But for some reason, they recognized Jesus. And it wasn't like, oh, I recognize that guy. He's the one that everybody's talking about. No. They recognized in such a way that it moved them to do everything else that we talked about. So my question is, are we laborers? Because if we recognize Jesus, if you and I recognize Jesus for who He is, that should move us to do everything within our power and pray and pray and pray for those that are hurting, those that are sick, those that are lost, those that need Jesus Christ in their lives. Where are we at? Do we recognize Him because, hey, I remember a couple days back when He did this in my life. I remember in the past when I saw God move in this way and He can still do it. And so because of that, I'm going to run and do everything I possibly can to get these people to Jesus. And then I want to close with this. Yes, we're supposed to be laborers. Yes, we're supposed to do everything we can and pray and allow God to use us wherever. Maybe you're one of those people that somebody's ran to. Maybe you're one of those people that people have brought you to an opportunity to hear about Jesus. Maybe you've had a friend or a family member do everything they could possibly do to get you to Jesus. And it's still to the point that you have to reach up on your own and touch Him. Maybe that's you. So you're either here as a laborer or part of the harvest. But you know, when I'm sitting down here this morning during one of the songs, God gave me another point. And this one was aimed at me. Maybe some of the people they went after had met Jesus before. He had fed them before. He had blessed them before. But they needed another touch of His garment. Because I know, as a Christian, that there are things in my life, there are times in my life that I know the one thing I need is just to be able to touch the garment again. Because sometimes, as Christians, we feel like, well, I touched the garment back when I was 21 years old and I accepted Christ and, you know, and I can tell you all that type of story. But I can also tell you that I need to touch His garment every single morning. And I need to reach out to Him every single night. Don't think that you don't need to reach out to Him. Because nobody in this room is perfect. Understand that He is still there. There is still power in the touch of Jesus. And your best friend, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your grandma, your grandpa, your preacher, your Sunday school teacher, whoever you run into can do everything in their power. But at some point, you need to reach out to Jesus on your own. And you've got to reach to Him. And as many as touched Him were made well. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I just come before You and I thank You for Your word. Lord, I thank You for the conviction of Your spirit. Lord, help me to be better. Lord, I thank You for all You do. Move in this place in a mighty way. Whatever You want to do, we surrender it to You. In Your name we pray. Amen.